Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
Hi everyone, it's Chatting with Nat. It's Natalie Jeans and Natalie Shaw. And today on Chatting with Nat, we have the honor of having indie pop rock artist Ray Criss. Described as moody and rich, delicious, dark indie pop rock with a poetic bass, Ray Criss has just busted out of your periphery. This nerdy software designer has just written her first album, Liberated Density. With two decades of silenced poetry, she brings a robust and alluring vibe to what are otherwise troubling topics. From a young bullied teen in West Virginia to an award-winning young adult in Cary, North Carolina, she's now traveling to the U.S. To share her music. Let's give her a round of applause. Hi, Ray. How are you?
Hi. Doing good. How are you?
I'm still alive. I woke up. It's been some. It's been a cray cray past 3 years. You know, when you turn on the news, it's always something new. During this, let me see, how can I put it? Elections, George Floyd, Roe versus Wade, pandemic had some babies, polio, monkeypox, cicadas, what else is that? Tsunamis, vaccinations, you name it. It's there. So how have you been through all of this stuff?
Oh, definitely had my ups and downs. And by downs, I mean real downs at some point.
Yeah.
I'm sure we all have. Yeah, 2020 was a doozy with health issues. But a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff came out of it for me. I would say, though, as a side note, if you're not familiar, I found Wim Hof, and it pretty much saved my life and sanity. And that's something that I continue to practice daily now.
And what is that?
Wim Hof. He's called the Iceman as well. I discovered him on the Goop Lab Netflix series that Gwyneth Paltrow did. And he practices, I consider him like a life coach, but he practices cold therapy and also breathing techniques that help to train your body and your mind and your will. So.
Okay. Well, good for you. You know, whatever works for you. Everybody has to find that thing that, you know, moves them and really serves their body, their mind, and their soul. So kudos for being able to find something like that. So one of the questions I like to ask is this, and I give you a little synopsis, is the fact that obviously we know the pandemic was a horrible thing. People lost lives, they lost family members, limbs, some people going through long-term COVID. It's just horrific. But on the other side of things, there were some pros. Obviously, we were locked down and we had time to self-reflect. So a lot of times I would see family members walking together, and a lot of people don't have time for that anymore. So some of my colleagues said they're cutting back on workout hours because they realized they weren't spending enough time with their families. Climate change, my God, you know, when we were not in the world, the animals and the trees, they could breathe. The pollution level actually went down when we were not out there. I'm sure they didn't want us to come back, but here we are. There were a lot of articles of people quitting their jobs because they realized that, okay, yeah, I need to make money, but I need to be happy while making money. So a lot of people quit their jobs to do something more in tune with their destiny, their life's mission. Like artists like you and I, you know, some people created EPs, albums, tracks, singles. Some people decided to rebrand. Some people said, no, I'm not doing this music thing anymore. So my question is, excuse me, during this time, did you take time to self-reflect about who you want to be as an artist? Who do you, you know, what is your legacy? What do you want to leave? Or did you just say, you know what, I'm good. I know who I am. I'm going to do my thing in the music industry.
Oh, good question. I had a lot of time to self-reflect and a lot of time to find some healing as well. Mm. And that time that I had with myself was pretty crucial for me to gain the strength and be able to open up my journals for the past 2 decades and be able to process them and turn them into an album and something beautiful. Anytime before COVID, I don't think I would have, I wasn't prepared for it. So that really helped. And then on the day job versus music side of it, because of the pandemic, our company began to offer remote options, which we didn't have previously.
Right.
So it was always a very hard choice for me to be like, okay, do I'm very much a worker bee. So do I dedicate myself to my job? And then music had to suffer a lot of times because I wouldn't have the energy or the ability to travel or be out late or so on and so forth. But now with remote working, I'm able to go on tour and travel while I do my music and, you know, do my software job in a coffee shop wherever I'm at, you know, play music. So it's been a blessing in disguise for me.
I like that. I think a lot of people realize, and it's funny because a lot of companies realize, again, employees can stay home, we can pay them, and, you know, we can cut costs here and there. I think that a lot of companies are doing that now where people are just working remotely. You know, it's just a lot of different things came out of the whole COVID thing, and a lot of businesses came out of the COVID thing. I think Zoom definitely made a lot of money during the COVID thing. It's just been crazy. So how did you decide that music was going to be part of your life? Did you come out of the womb just singing, or was it something that you heard or saw that made you say, okay, Ray Chris has to be with music. You guys have to be one.
Oh, no, it's definitely in my blood and showed at a very young age. My mom has always sang no matter what she's doing, you know. I remember having cleaning days and she would turn on, you know, some Bonnie Raitt or some Winona Judd and just sing for the whole day, cleaning the floors and the cabinets and singing in the car. And my dad also sang and played guitar and sang Take It Easy to Me. And I sang so much growing up that my brother, you know, probably wasn't very good singing, but my brother would get so angry that I was always singing, you know, in the car at the dinner table. And so my mom had to create this rule that I could sing on even days, and then on odd days I wasn't allowed to sing.
Oh, wow.
So that has been something that I've had and have, this is my life. I remember I had a friend trying to coach me on, you know, preparing for a gig, and they were like, okay, so maybe, you know, this day you only sing a little bit, or, you know, right before your gig, you take it easy. I'm like, or maybe you do some like slight warm-ups. And I'm like, I sing all the time. There's no day that I don't sing.
Hey.
I can be no radio, no car, no nothing. But, you know, I'm one of those people that just sing randomly. You say a word or you mention something to me and I've got a lyric that's coming out whether I want it to or not. Not my lyric, you know, but just, you know, pop culture, music, or what have you. I call it my internal jukebox. It's just always playing.
See, we have something in common because I'm always singing too. Somebody will say something and I'll reply in song rather than normal conversation. Because it's just, it's better that way. It's way more fun doing it that way. I mean, if the music is in me, it just can't let itself go. I know that for me, music has been a saving grace. It's helped me throughout times, a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for you to be authentic as a person and in your music?
Oh, gosh, 100%. and everything that I do. I think most times I'm honest to a fault. that can show in like personal relationships, or, you know, my corporate relationships at work. I have to constantly keep in check that I'm not like giving too much information or being too transparent, or it's definitely something I have to manage.
I'm pretty honest. And I like to speak my truth a lot of the time. Sometimes, and most of the time, it's okay. But sometimes people are like, oh, my gosh, man. Like, you really have to say that. Yep, sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can talk to person.
Yeah.
And it's not, I'm not being nasty. It's just I'm speaking my truth. And sometimes when you say things a different way, they don't get it. And when you speak your truth, that's when they're like, okay, I hear you. That's when they hear you. It's just the oddest thing. They don't hear you any other way. Well, they hear you at that point. So you are an indie pop rock artist. Why indie pop rock? Why that genre?
It just came out that way. I honestly wasn't sure how to classify my genre until it kind of grew out in the streets, you know, in the market with people hearing it and talking about it. And that's how I named it from listening. So whenever I did my singles, my two singles that are out right now, through CD Baby, you have to give it a genre. So I was, my hand was kind of forced at that point to pick something. And then I think I chose like soft rock or acoustic or female artists. And then as it was out, you know, and the peoples, I got some feedback and they'd be like, oh, it sounds like this person or like this band or like this. And I kind of just molded up together indie pop rock. And I think it's well suited for the album as a whole.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like that genre question because the music has evolved over time. And what's happened is that a lot of artists do multiple genres, like you're doing pop and rock.
Yeah.
I'm a versatile artist. I do almost all of the genres, but right now I'm focused on Americana, singer-songwriter type of vibe, folk, because that's what I like. I like the storytelling. It's not that you don't tell stories in other genres, but it's more more relatable in that arena. So I completely get it. It's great to have a versatile catalog. It's easier when it comes to thinking licensing your music. You have more to give in that sense. So, you know, you can work more out there in the world, because right now, you know, the music industry is very interesting. It's like Spotify pays like 0.0001, and you know, they want, and you know, when you're trying to make a living doing this, you have to have another job, but you really want to do the music, and you're just like, well, you know, you got to open your catalog if you want to. Now, if you're really stuck in that one genre, you know, that's with the best, that's where your best efforts are, then I always tell people to continuously do that. Now, what do you love most about being an artist?
I'd say it's almost like a love-hate relationship. Because it's like a duty almost sometimes when you have a feeling or an unsettlement or something that you need to get out, some message that's like knocking at your door constantly, and you're like, I'm not ready for this, or like, I don't have time for this right now, or like, come back later, or make it easier, you know. But it's almost like I haven't even considered or looked at it from that perspective. It's, you know, but I'm growing more as an artist over this last year. I've evolved so much as an artist in my music. So I think down the road I'll have a better answer for that. I do love how many people I've gotten to meet over the last year, and so many people that come to me and they're like, I love this track or that track, or I love the message that you have in this song. And I'm like, why are these, whenever I wrote this music, I wasn't trying to write it for people, which sounds kind of selfish, but It was for me to get like a bookmark of my life. There were things that I had processed, that I had gotten through, I'd healed, and I was ready to face them. I was ready to get them out. That's why the album is called Liberated Density. I was holding on to this stuff for so long, and I was ready to get it out. And I wrote it for me. And I told myself along the way, you know, if people don't like this, it's okay. I'm enjoying this process. I have to do it. It's for me. And if it falls on its face, so be it. It'll still be there, a bookmark of my life, and I can move on. But to have people come to me and say that it's helping them or it's moving them, it's just a cherry on top that I wasn't completely prepared for. So that's been very rewarding.
Yeah, I always tell people that, yeah, everybody is different when it comes to, you know, what they love most about being an artist. But what I find is that, you know, artists have superpower. People that are in the music industry have superpower, because when somebody comes to you and says, God, that song really changed my life, that is a superpower. And I can give you an example. So this lady that I met, she performed, and this guy came up to her after she finished performing and said, oh my God, your set was just amazing. And I have to tell you something. He or she says to him, you know, I was going to go home and kill myself, but after hearing your performance, I'm not. You gave me a new lease on life. So I think artists really don't know musicians, really don't know the impact of what their music does for them. You may write it for a different reason, but that it's just the fact that you wrote it, it does something to the audience. It does something to the listener that you may not even understand. You may not know that it may save that person's life. Because what I've seen in the past couple of years is that people wanted something to relate to. So people want hope in this crazy world of us that just been, you know, we all had this fake news crap going around for the longest time, and people got sick of it. So I think a lot of people gravitated to independent artists, mainstream artists, so that they could get away from the stuff that they just couldn't understand, but gravitate to the things that brought them happiness and made them feel secure. When I think of, you know, what makes me, what I love about being an artist is I like the way that we can make people feel. You know, music makes me feel great. I love the way it makes me feel, just like you as well, and why I write some of the songs. But, you know, we have a superpower. I plan to get a T-shirt made like that. Music,
I like it.
Music is my superpower. Tell me more about your job designing software. Everybody, you know, it's funny that some people put in their bios, yeah, I'm a little nerdy. I don't think that's nerdy whatsoever. I love technology, okay? I'm a freak when it comes to technology. If I had the money, I would buy everything out there, because it just, the fact that people can create these things and these things are coming out of their head and they're just like, let me do this. You know, even something like creating a MacBook or even creating apps, it's just fascinating to me. So tell me about your job, the software.
Yeah, I totally geek out about it. And I think it's nerdy just because if you get a bunch of designers or graphic designers in a room, they're all going to be looking at the software designer and being like, do you really do that? Are you really a graphic designer? Like, you work on tabs and buttons and drop downs. Like, but I geek out about it. But for me, whenever I heard about user experience design, I think it was back in like 2013. I was at my first job out of college. It was at a website design, small, privately owned company in a garage with like four other developers. I was like, what is this thing? This is so cool. I can do like art and design, but I can also do like research and psychology on my users. And like, there were so many different angles to come at it. I was like, this is much more like what my brain needs. I need to get into that. So over the years, I've kind of worked my way through my career path towards software. And now I work at SAS Institute here in Cary, and it's a wonderful, wonderful job. And we build business-to-business analytical software, and we have developers all over the country. So the team that I work on, we create design guidelines for developers to build off of so that all of our products look like a suite that come from the same company, and they look professional and marketable and in our landscape with competitors.
I love it.
Yeah.
We love it.
Me too. I remember my grandma was like, what do you do again? I just don't understand. You know. But I found that if you can explain your software job to your grandma, then you can pretty much explain it to anybody.
Right. You already understand. You got it. So I think you sent me that you won CMA 2022 Female Rock Artist Award.
Yeah, so that was beginning of August. I think I had already started my tour for the album, and I think I got word of the nomination when I was at Rooster Walk Festival.
Okay.
Early, and I can't remember what month that was, but yeah, so I had a mentor, Evelyn Putnam, that kind of coached me on the day-to-day things that you can do when nominated,
okay.
You know, to let people know that you're nominated and to promote yourself and so on and so forth. And then the announcement came out August 6th, I believe it was, at the awards ceremony. And I pretty much had it in my mind, like, I'm a new artist. A lot of people don't know my name. I had been on the road for months, and I've been, like, you know, hitting the pavement, as you would say. But I was like, that's not going to be enough. And there was a gentleman that sat in front of my friend and I, and, you know, we made small talk at the ceremony before it started. And he was like, yeah, I'm here for my daughter to accept the award for her. She's in Nashville right now, couldn't be here. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. I'm glad you could come and do that for her. And he's like, yeah, you should follow her on Instagram. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be in Nashville later on this year. I'd love to hook up with her. And so I go on her Instagram, and I was like, oh, she's got 4,000 followers. And he's like, yeah, she's in the female rock group for nomination. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I really wish her a lot of luck. You know, that's the category that I'm also nominated for. But I followed her, and I still anticipated, you know, meeting up with her in Nashville. And then, you know, once we closed our conversation and the award started, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to win. Like, I don't have 4,000 followers. There's no way.
Right.
And so I sat there and was, like, trying to, like, mentally prepare myself. Okay, it's not going to be my name. It's not going to be my name. And then he announced, you know, the nominees are, and I think there were eight women in the group, and then there was silence, and then there was my name, and I was like, I had to, like, literally pull myself out of my chair to make my body walk.
You're like, what's going on here?
Stage. I know, I got so choked up because I was in shock, but I got a few words out of thanks, needed it, you know, God most importantly, and made it back to my chair, and I was in shock for a few days afterwards, even still.
Yeah. Hey, well,
I'm very honored and happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm honored and happy to have been a part of it, and hope to continue to be a part of that organization, because it's founded by Omar and the CarolinaMusicAwards.com website has a lot of information about it, and I think it's just a great cause. So hopefully I can continue to be involved in whatever capacity to help make sure that keeps going into the future.
Great. Now, what is your songwriting process like? And if you have writer's block, how do you deal with it?
So most of my songs came from, oh, gosh, I don't even remember. I have a photographer friend that I reach out to sometimes whenever I'm having a show or something or a gig. He come and, you know, shoot some photos if you'd like. He's kind of in our friend circles, and he was moving his studio into his apartment, This is a long story. And he texted me and he was like, hey, can you come over and just model in this space and make sure that it's okay, it's not too squished, or, you know, we have enough lighting and so on and so forth. So I did, and he got this wonderful picture. And I was going to post it, but I was like, no, this picture has way too much, like, meaning and, like, substance to it. It needs some content. And I started talking to a couple of really close friends and mentors in the music scene about, I was like, I think I'm ready to, like, write an album. Mm. And they're like, okay, yeah, you should. Of course you should. Like, whatever you need to do. And I just was talking myself into it and like feeling it and like I think I'm ready. Like, I haven't been ready for this in like 20 years. I think it's time now. And so I sat down and I went through all my journals, and I have probably 3, 4, 5 journals for the last 20 years since I was a teen. And I just went through and I picked, it's hard to explain which ones I picked and which ones I didn't. But it's kind of like going to the grocery store and knowing which fruit is ripe. and which ones will make a good fruit salad. So, and a lot of them were just pieces of poems. Some of them were full poems with like different parts to them that didn't fit. So I taped them up all over my wall. That's right next to my desk. And I grouped them in patterns of common themes. And after I was done with that, with all the ones I had picked out, I started to decide, okay, which ones do I want to keep for this album, which ones don't fit, took those out, and then I compiled the groups that stayed, and I would write, you know, if it was like 4 or 5 poems put together, I would write it down on one sheet and be like, okay, this is going to be a song. I need to come back to this one. I'd put it aside, and I'd do it again for like 4 or 5 other poems and be like, okay, that's going to be a song. That's song number 2. And I did that for 10 songs. And I took all of those to West Virginia, and I stayed with my parents for, I don't even know now, 2-3 weeks, and I put music to them. And I play guitar, but it's more of a means to an end for me to sing and to express myself. So I'm not a very skilled guitarist. So it's been kind of intimidating to think of writing songs when I don't have a great vocabulary, if you will, in guitar. But I sat down and just with each one, I was like, okay, what do I know? I know these chords. I know this pattern from this cover song that I do. I know like this or that. Let me just see what I can. And I just added them all in and wrote some melodies for them, and they all came to life. And it was kind of beautiful to see. One of my favorite stories to tell is I was outside my dad's trailer and I was having coffee, and I was sitting down with some of the lyrics that I had brought with me. I had my guitar, and I was like, okay, F and G. I want to do something with F and G. This sounds like it's kind of moody for this song. Let me see what I can do. And my stepmom came out to join me for coffee, and all I was playing was this F and G strumming pattern for probably 5-10 minutes, if not longer. And I was kind of humming like a melody of the lyrics, seeing where they could fit in. And, you know, she gets up after a while and she goes back in and she goes, that sounds real good. You keep going with it. The sweetest thing, because it did not sound good at all. It was 2 chords.
Wow. Yeah.
So sweet.
It happens that way. Now, what happens to you when you don't, when it doesn't flow in your head right away? You step away.
Oh, yeah.
Paper or the computer, what do you do?
Yeah, good question. I think it depends on the level of the block. If it's something that's like on the tip of my tongue, maybe I'll just try like a different strumming pattern or a different chord or a different part of the song and be like, okay, I don't know what the verse is going to be, but maybe I know what the bridge is going to be, so let me go there.
Right.
And then just like step by step get myself through it. But if I'm totally blocked and like I can't get any of it out, I'm like, okay, there's something internal that I got to work on. So I'll step away, maybe meditate for a couple of days, connect with, you know, family or friends or nature, or eat, you know, whatever my body needs at that point. But yeah, I kind of step away, process what I need to do, and then come back at it when I feel more refreshed and ready to face it.
Alrighty. And why did you decide to release this new album, your debut album, Liberated Density? And how did you come up with the title for it?
What do you mean by decide to release it?
Well, sometimes people, let me tell you something. I know many people in the industry that have music out there, and they just keep the music to themselves until they feel it's ready. They always find something wrong with it. And they're always like, oh my gosh, no, I'm not ready to release it yet.
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
What made you decide, okay, this is the time to release this debut album?
Oh my gosh, it gives me chills thinking about it. I don't think I had an option. I don't. It all came so organically. It flowed out of me within just a couple of months. And then I didn't have any recording studios. I didn't know anybody. And just so happened, one of my friends, it came across my social. No, I wanted to go to Saxapaha. This is a weird story. I like Saxapaha because it reminds me of growing up in West Virginia. So I was like, I want to go back to that city. It's close to where I live now. And I'm going to plan a trip. And so I get on like Airbnb or something, and, you know, request like things to do. And I was like,
right.
Hey, that's my friend, James Davey. And he was like offering singer songwriter day recording session, I guess in that city. And so I reached out to him and I was like, is this you? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, do you do that locally? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, do you want to record an album with me? I only have like a few songs, but I'm in the process of writing, you know, maybe 10 or 12. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, I didn't have anything really to give to him. I had like 3 songs at the time, but he was like, yeah, let's do it. So I go and I write these songs. And then we get in the studio by October, and he and I are like composing, okay, this song sounds like it should have some cello. This song should have some like some organ. And I'm a very backwards and shy sometimes and very anxious person. So the idea of nobody had seen this stuff yet. And I didn't have much studio time at that point either. So I'm like fresh new blood in a studio with fresh new material, totally out of fish out of water almost. But he was the most supportive person I could have had for this. So we got through recording all kinds of things, had great ideas for a lot of the songs, had some musicians come in and play on the album, and all of that came together organically. And then whenever mixing came around, a friend of mine also passed by my feed on Facebook, and I was like, hey, do you have any time for mixing right now? Are you still doing that? And he's like, yeah, I'll get you in like next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, great. And then he is Ryan Masticar, he's a wonderful mixer. And just point after point after point, things just fell into place. And it was there. I didn't need any other signs to know, like, this needs to go out now. This is happening, whether I like it or not. I'm kind of just a part of this and holding on as it happens. Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of obstacles too that I've had to face to get it here, and the release
right.
process has been hurdle after hurdle. You know, learning CD Baby, learning what is mixing, what is mastering, what's the timelines, what's promotion, what's self marketing, like all of that stuff, having to grow into it and accept when things can't go out, you know, when you want them to, or accept when you have to let things be what they are going to be, not exactly what you want them to be. And kind of like letting go of a lot of things and, letting it happen as it needs to.
Awesome. Now I'm going to play snippets of your songs, Robots Don't Get High and Skitter Scurry. Tell me what those are about.
Sure. So Robots Don't Get High was the first single that I released whenever I first started mixing with Ryan Masticar.
Mm-hmm.
And it has since the single, and I also have a unmastered hard CD that I have given to people physically whenever I'm around them. Outside of that, we have remixed a few things of this song, and it has been completely mastered now. So it has a bit of a different sound, and I think I love where it's landed. So that's what Robots Don't Get High is. And then...
Yeah.
Skitter Scurry is later on in the album. Closer to my second single, which is out right now, called Skin, Skitter Scurry is on that side of the album. It's more of like a darker, introspective half of the album. And
okay.
Skitter Scurry is a poem that I wrote as a poem, and I didn't change any of the lyrics. It is the full poem as a song. So it's a little artsy, it's a little avant-garde, it's a little cabaret, and it's just a little bit of a different vibe that people haven't heard from me yet.
All right, let me play them. Yeah, very different. Both are very different. I like that. I like when you mix things up. How do you handle all of your marketing and promoting and getting on social media? Because sometimes people just don't get it. It's a lot of work, and we constantly have to be
on
these pages and telling people what we're doing. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're so right, and it's been an internal battle of mine, and from many different angles, like being kind of, even social media in general, like, I don't know, not even 5 years ago, I hardly let people into my life on Facebook, and I don't think I really had an Instagram. I still am a very private person, but I've learned that if I want to have close relationships, I have to let people in, and I have to let them see me. And so just regular social media has been a learning curve for me to open up. So when it came to self-promotion, I didn't want to do any of it, but I've kind of looked at it in two ways. One, this music is not just mine. It's a lot of other people that are involved in my team, but also it's from a higher power in my from what I've experienced, not saying like, oh, I'm connected to a higher power and people aren't, but like as musicians, as artists, a lot of times when we get into our zone or our focus zone or our channeling, like I'm a conduit, you know, and I'm merely writing pen to paper to get something out that needs to be out, I guess. So to many people that I want to give this music and this art as much life as it can have. And I believe in it. So it's almost like I'm sacrificing what I do or don't want to do just so that this can have the best that it can have. And on the other side of it, thinking of my music or my brand as a business, if I don't market or advertise, my business is not going to succeed. Businesses don't create a product and then sit around and wait for somebody to find it. You have to market. You have to advertise. And since I don't have a team or a manager to do that for me, I have to do it for myself. Recently, thankfully, I've had some music friends and contacts that have led me to some teams and managers that can help me in that space and are starting to do so. But before, when I had to do it myself, I still have to do it myself, even if I do have people helping me. It's like, you just have to let people know what you're doing, or they're not going to know, and they're not going to care.
Exactly. What are three things you wish you had known before you got into the music industry?
That's a hard one.
Go ahead.
I think I wish I had known how much I'm starting to learn how much I have to center myself in some places, because I'm now representing a brand and not myself.
Amen.
So, you go to a party and you can't party. Unless you're with trusted people or trusted friends, you can't say certain things. You can't do certain things. You can't have, you can't let your guard down and just, do cartwheels or whatever, people are nowadays, they're taking videos of everybody and anybody whenever they want to, no matter if you've got consent or not. So you got, and they don't mean to, they're just trying to capture a moment in time. So you got friends that are taking videos in the middle of the night if you're at a party and you're like, oh, okay, great. I'm going to have to start thinking about this now.
That's true. You bring up a very good point.
And the other was, how much I would have to sacrifice from my life in other ways, in order to continue my tour and promoting my music and this album that's going to start streaming soon. I'm having to rent out my townhome, so I've had to completely clear out a lot of personal items, stage it, and get myself to. I got my cats out; they're at my mom's now, and I'm having to go. I have control problems, and a little bit OCD, who doesn't, but I'm having to let go of that stuff and be okay with people in my private space because I have to for my music.
That's true.
There's a lot of sacrifices that people don't see from the beginning.
Yeah, well, believe me, you're preaching to the choir. No, I completely understand that. One of the things that I was unaware when I first started many moons ago is how many scammers there are in the music industry. It's almost like they can teach the people that are just coming out and they're just leech on them and just, I can make you a star. And it's like, no, that's BS.
I've kind of grouped them into my sleazeball radar category.
Right.
So I entertain approaches like that through the right avenues. If I'm at an open mic or at a bar or a club someplace that in some city that I don't know, and some guy comes up to me and says, "Oh, I can make you so much money and let me manage you and you could be a star," I'm like, "Oh, this isn't okay. Email me and maybe we'll talk, have a phone call." But I have some vetting that I have to do in order to trust somebody with something like that. And usually the ones that I have entertained have been referrals from close friends that have worked with people before.
Okay.
And that way I don't have to fall on anything other than I trust this person. They have a reputable standing and I don't need to worry myself, because worrying and stress can just overtake so much stuff. So anywhere I can cut that out, I do. And that's how I've managed that.
Awesome. Now, what's up next for you? Now you say you're touring, and then what else is
down the road?
Yeah. So I fly out to San Diego middle of September, and then I'm going to Phoenix to see my uncle for a week, and then Las Vegas for a week, and then I'm flying back. And then my album will start releasing on streaming platforms beginning of October. And then I will be heading to Nashville to promote it there, and then down to New Orleans for Halloween, because I love Halloween. And then coming back up, and then spending most of the tail end of the year with family to kind of catch up there.
So lots going on.
Oh, yeah, it's busy, busy, busy. But it's It's a transition year. It's a growing year, and I'm welcoming it. It's kind of surreal some days because of so many major changes that have happened in my life. But
right.
This is the way. It just feels right, and yes. Sometimes you can't explain why something feels right.
Right? No, I agree with you. But if it feels good, it feels right, you do it. You know, and I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. You got to follow your gut, your intuition, and do what makes you
exactly.
happy. Well.
Yeah, well, that's another thing is, like, before this music, I lived so much of my life in fear. Fear about what people would think or what I would write, if it would be good, or I can't travel because of, you know, gas, or could die, or I'm a single lady, I could get kidnapped, or, like, so many things that living in fear, like, this past year, I've every time I hit those roadblocks of fear, I have to consciously be like, this is what I've decided, and I'm not going to let fear run my life, and I'm going to be safe, but I'm also going to still go after my dreams, because that's what my life should be. If not, then I'm going to continue to have a mental or a disease of sorts, you know?
Right. No, I get it. I completely get it. Well, Ray, thank you so much for being on Chatting with Nat. I learned so much about you, and I think you have a great voice. You're amazing. Keep doing your thing. I think that your name are already in lights, and they will continue to be. You can't care about what people think. You got to do your thing. Just know that you're good. And you know, I always tell people is that as long as you love your music, people are going to love your music. The right people will come to listen
yeah.
to you, buy good stuff. So, continue doing what you need to do.
Thanks so much, Natalie, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, everyone. This is Chatting with Nat, and we had the honor of having indie pop rock artist Ray Chris. She's amazing. You can go to her link tree, which is linktr.ee/ray.chris, and you can find out more information, or you can just Google her. You know, we're on so many different platforms. You can just Google Ray Chris. That's R-A-E, and Chris is C-H-R-I-S-S. Until next time on Chatting with Nat.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.